Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Steven Midano.
This is Tuesday, October 9th, 2012. Never done it like
that. 8.24, the Week 5 Recap Show.
Cannot wait to tell you guys what's going on. We're coming to London, baby. London!
London, baby!
Yeah, we'll be there in a few weeks.
Do you know we leave not this weekend, but next weekend?
I know, a week from Sunday, like 10 days.
Yes.
I know.
I'm
be afraid. You should be because you're not coming home for a while because your family's joining you at the end.
We're 2 weeks. I'm in London for 2 weeks.
You lucky
London,
dog.
Baby!
Lucky dog.
And we're doing so much cool stuff.
I know. We've got updates on the party.
Party!
At Sport Cafe.
You know what?
The Trafalgar Square parties.
And we promise to the people of Southern California who love us very much, and we love you too.
Besides Sharon.
When we come back from London, we are going to have a little get-together. For you people.
We've been saying that for years.
But we're going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to have a barbecue at my house. It's going to be my... You get to come to Miranda's house. How about that?
I don't know if that's safe.
Yeah, I don't know.
We might have some kooks out there. It's L.A. There'll be mellow kooks.
Mellow kooks. Well, we'll figure it out. Maybe at the Buffalo Wild Wings. Let's have a party at the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, I left there, actually, right after I got there, because there was a little a-hole at the bar.
Really?
Yeah. Seated at the bar was an a-hole and his Mrs. A-hole. And I said, you know what? It was first thing in the morning. It wasn't even kickoff yet. It was just about kickoff.
Yeah.
I'm going home, because it's going to be a lot nicer in my house than trying to endure you for several hours. Friends, never make yourself watch football with a-holes. It's not worth it. Just get out of there, find a better situation.
What was he doing?
He was a very upset Packers fan.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you didn't stay.
Yeah, what if I had stayed?
Oh, man.
And the little voice inside is like, just go. I took my laptop. I said goodbye to James, the manager.
Because if you look at the NFL power rankings on NFL.com.
Powerful.
They are. No. The NFL ones.
How about
yours
Jeff's?
Are powerful.
Mine are powerful.
The Packers are free-falling. In that one.
Yeah. I can't believe how far I had to put the Packers down this year.
They're
Steven.
2-3. What your record says you are right now.
Well, not entirely. You're that and some other stuff. Because if you'll notice, right now a wild card team would be the San Francisco 49ers. And they're the best team in the NFL.
They're pretty good.
They're number one in my powerful rankings.
How did they get number one? How did they get above Houston?
The 5-0 teams?
Yes.
Because I think they beat them right now. If they played on a neutral field, although it'd be one heck of a game.
I want to see that game.
I want to see that game, too. So, Steven, that's the thing about power rankings is that it doesn't reflect records, per se.
No.
And so we've got the 49ers as a wild card team. I mean, that's crazy sauce, dude. Seriously.
But, you know, it's early, and we all saw that the Arizona Cardinals aren't going to last at the top of the division.
No. The Arizona Cardinals are not going to be there at the end.
So
but
let's
I just want to say,
going.
I got to say this.
Let's
before
get going.
We know. Yep. Green Bay Packers have fallen out of medal contention and have dropped to 11.
11!
What? You're interrupting the intro?
11! Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
They're the highest ranked 2-3 team.
So you said they fell out of medal, so you only have 10 medal teams now?
I have 9, actually, this week.
9 medal teams.
I have only 9
so
are worthy of the playoffs.
So now you're making my girl do more work, basically, is what you're saying.
Oh, it's easier when they stay in their 12
you have,
I have 3 gold, 3 silver, 3 bronze.
Yes, because those all have to get recoded.
Well, Emma's going to have to work harder for Elena's going to have to work harder for her $5.
Apparently.
So be it.
Yes.
At least I got it done early.
She has to work harder, but then she has daddy to. She has to bring daddy in for some questions.
Yeah, I don't pay you.
Yes, no.
So,
we're going to start charging you $10.
Okay, so, Steven, glance at the helmets and tell me whom it is. No, who, because it's an object.
Yeah.
Who it is I have as medal worthy. You don't have to give me my top 9 in order, but give me the medal-worthy teams.
Okay, you got the Niners.
Yeah.
And you better have the Houston Texans
and
the 5-0 Atlanta Falcons.
You just did the gold teams.
Okay, there's gold. Silver. Bears.
Yeah, Bears.
Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots.
Ravens.
Yeah, Ravens. Good. So you're doing great. Now give me my bronze. I didn't even ask you to do the colors, but you are.
Bronze. Then you've got the...
It's tough. It's tough, isn't
Vikings.
It? I've got the Vikings, of course.
Unwillingly, you probably have the Cardinals.
No, I don't. They are 10. They just fell out of medal contention. Because, dude, 9 sacks? You kidding me?
Yeah.
9 sacks?
They gave up 9.
Hello.
And the week before, they gave up 8.
Hello. 17 sacks in 2 weeks. Congratulations.
Then two more teams. You probably have the Giants.
Super Bowl champion Giants. New York Giants.
And then the last medal team then would be the...
And it's questionable. They're number 9. AFC. I'll narrow it for you.
Bengals?
No.
Chargers?
No. Bengals have fallen to 15. Chargers are 14.
Steelers. Yeah, the Steelers are 2-2, dog.
But they're coming off a bye, and they're with Polamalu.
They're 2-2. They struggled to at home to beat the Eagles.
Steven, here's a... We have rants, raves, and then... Oh, no. I don't know what to call that. That's not a rant or a rave. Oh, no.
I got an oh, no.
So here's my oh, no. We may have seen Troy Polamalu play his final game at a high level. Period. And that makes me just go, oh, no.
I'll change that with
to period.
We may have seen
when
play
you
his
take yourself out
game.
Of a game because of a calf injury with no contact.
In the first quarter. And you missed the previous two and you had a bye week.
People, if you are new to the sport and have never seen Troy Polamalu play at his peak, it was one of the most electric things. So much so you would tell your grandkids about this guy. Yeah, and it had nothing to do with the hair. Had nothing. It was pure athleticism. Ball hawking ability.
He was everywhere.
Yeah. The guy was omnipresent.
Always around the football.
And the guy plays safety so he could be 50 yards down the field. And you know what? He sacks the quarterback. Huh? Yeah, he had a time machine or something. I don't know how he did it. Yeah. But Troy Polamalu, one of my favorite.
He would make plays at the line of scrimmage. He would make plays down the field. He would make plays everywhere.
If the ball's there, he's there. Troy Polamalu. And it makes me sad.
Tackles for loss. He'd sacked the quarterback.
He hasn't died, okay?
He hit the ball. But he re-aggravated his calf muscle injury. And the way he hopped off the field, and he's sitting there at the end with his leg wrapped with the ace bandage.
So
and
sad.
Ice. And he's definitely out this week against Tennessee because they play the Thursday
game. Thursday night, sure.
But he may be done.
Now give me your O.
My O is there's a T.O. sighting.
No, he's been number.
Did we outnumber him?
I'm pretty sure. If we didn't, we should have.
Okay.
So let's consider him number.
Because last night during the Jets game.
Number stands for he who must not be named.
He who must not be named tweeted to the Jets, directly to the Jets, Jeff, saying, I'm available. Call my agent.
Wouldn't have anything to do with Dominic Rogers-Cromartie playing wide receiver, would it?
Yes.
When your shutdown corner is playing wide out.
I tell you what, I will reinstate him if he gets picked up by the Jets.
Yeah.
He will be reinstated, and we'll talk about him again, but that's
well,
it.
Well, that's the law of humnumbing is you don't have a choice in the matter. You don't unhumnumber somebody. They're now in the league, so now you obviously can talk about
but
them.
So I'm not going to say anymore, but... Direct tweet to the @Jets, and he direct tweeted
them. It's a little mean. I would say it's a little soon because
Rex
wow,
Ryan,
game,
however, all he had
game.
To say was never say never.
Never?
Say never.
Never.
Yes.
I'm saying it.
Okay, you did.
I'm saying it. And look, when they had offensive and defensive possessions with 12 men on the field, I say, what the hell is going on there?
Yeah.
Seriously, offensive and defense within 5 minutes of each other. So it's as if the offensive coordinator doesn't know what the hell's going on, doesn't have control of his team, and the defensive coordinator doesn't know what's going on and doesn't have control
what's
of his team.
What's worse for me was every time they tried to bring Tebow in, they kept running out of time because nobody knew. Okay, so here goes Tebow.
Oh, it's the Tebow package? So what am I supposed to do? Where do I line up?
Running
Tied
late.
Out.
Yeah, that. If you're going to do that, you better have some order.
What
you
few
better
Jets
know what's
fans
going
remained
on.
Were booing, and I support that over the Castle booing in Kansas City.
But before we get on, I got some money to collect. I'll take this dollar here.
You sure you can reach it?
I got That's a dollar for me, baby.
Nice George Washington. I can use it for gas money today. Because I live in California. So I asked a man at the gas pump last night.
I'm done. I'm done putting gas. The gas that I put in my car yesterday, that's it. That's whenever that runs out, I'm done. And wherever I run out, if I'm like 5 miles from the house, the car just stays there and I'm walking home. I'm done.
I think I need to set up a little hat for collection at a gas pump because I was killing at the gas pump last night.
Really?
People were in stitches. I said, anybody got an extra child they can loan me so I could sell them for some gas? People are cracking up. I was killing at the gas pump.
What did you pay?
I got it for the ridiculously cheap price of $4.61. That was at the AM PM.
That's more than I paid.
On Woodbury. But still, that was last night.
Oh.
On my way home from the cave, on my way after Monday Night Football. So, I mean, I had a half a tank, but I'm driving to Santa Barbara today. Gas is over $5 in Santa Barbara.
Yes.
It's always 15, 20 cents more just because it's hard to get to Santa Barbara.
I'm done.
So I'm going to have an empty tank when I get back, and I'll probably park it and pull out Kara's skateboard and then hurt myself. So I hope that everyone's happy about gas prices in California because I'm going to hurt myself because I'm going to ride my daughter's skateboard, and I'm going to be cool, which means I'm not going to wear a helmet.
I've told the girls, get ready for us walking 10 miles to school and back. I will walk you.
Sure.
I will walk alongside you.
And the walk there is downhill.
Yes.
All right. It's just the walk home.
It's not going to be fun.
So don't be a wuss.
I hope you informed your daughter because I'm responsible for her today after school.
You are picking her up because I'm in Santa Barbara. Well, I'm taking the boy back to school.
I'm picking her up.
On a bicycle.
Walking. So she will have to walk to my house.
You think my daughter cares about working out?
No, she doesn't.
No, she actually likes working out.
She does. She loves it. She has a workout machine. Now, crazy, crazy gas prices. But let's get to some games.
Let's talk about happier things.
Because we have the game, El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana.
See, first of all, cap tip, man, for getting 8 out of the 9 medal teams.
Thank you.
Serious good work there.
Well, I wound up getting them all eventually.
I know, but yet you missed on a couple just because apparently you would have put some of these others ahead of the Steelers.
Yeah.
And the Steelers are just, look, it's going to be tough. The Denver Broncos for the reunion grudge match number 13 between Tom Brady and Peyton Manning at Foxborough, Massachusetts.
The 2-2 Broncos face the 2-2 Patriots. Well, those records are flopped now.
So close, and yet so
New England
far.
Improves to 3-2 while the Broncos are dropped to 2-3, and all I can say is this week's ugly included a running back named Willis McGahee.
Dude, you personally cost your team a chance at a comeback. A pretty darn good chance.
Absolutely.
You, first of all, you take a pass, a short swing pass.
4th and 1. Wide open.
4th and 1.
No one
wide open.
No
one near you. You turn your eyes upfield to figure out where you're going to go with the ball that is yet to be in your hands.
Catch the ball first. Ensure you have the first down. Then figure out if you can make a move and run for some more yards.
Because if you drop this ball, your team's chances are virtually over. Wait, you're going to get a second chance.
Yes, they got a second chance. With still about 5 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning had already scored another touchdown, so it was now 31-21.
When
he dropped that
over.
Ball, it was 31-14, Jeff.
Right.
But then the Manning went, they scored another touchdown, 31-21. Now he's driving. You are inside the Patriots' 20-yard line. They're at the 14. I don't know why Manning took the ball out of his own hands and decided to hand it off to Willis McGahee, but he did. And what does Willis McGahee do?
He does what Willis McGahee does.
Willis. I was
here at the same time I was hearing Gary Coleman's voice.
Yeah.
What'd you talk about, Willis?
Exactly.
What'd you talk about, Willis? You put it on the ground?
Fumble.
You fumble?
And along with that fumble went away any chances the Broncos had at coming back in that game. I'm sure you were mad because you had the Broncos in this one.
That was one of my little let's have some cojones here games. I didn't have a good week on picks.
Well, you and I had identical weeks.
9.
Yes.
9-5.
We were 9-5.
Whoopee freaking do.
I know. You want double digits.
I want double digits every week, especially when there's bye weeks. Yes. Thank you for noticing.
We should have had byes. We should have had 10. But, you know, we lost one at the end.
Steven, my power rankings?
Yes.
All the teams on bye weeks this week?
Yes.
when I went through, I realized everybody on a bye this week, Dallas, Detroit, Tampa, Oakland, these are teams that so needed to get their stuff together, shall we say. Right. So I wrote the same comment for all of them. I'll leave it to people to go find out what it was.
So did they all move up or did they stay the same?
I made a point of making sure that they all stayed the same to the best of my ability. Okay, there is one team. Oakland had to rise one spot to make room for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Because that's one bad team.
They are bad.
And now without Jake Locker, I mean, really, what are you? Because, and CJ, why? Why? Okay, but yeah, so you personally kept Peyton Manning from being able to have another one of his legendary strikes. I thought it was fascinating in this game, Steven, that they're still terrified of Peyton Manning. It was 4th and 5, near midfield, and what does Bill Belichick do? He does what Bill Belichick does when he's playing Tom Brady. Yeah. I mean, Peyton Manning. He's scared to death. Yes. They go for it on 4th and 5.
Because he was going to come back on them. He would have.
And he was so scared, again, of Peyton Manning that he goes for it on 4th and 5 at midfield, turns it over on downs.
Yeah. I think Peyton Manning taught or learned a valuable lesson. And he is like,
Willis McGahee before the game begins?
No, it's don't take the ball out of my hands.
Yes.
I'm in a situation where if I score a touchdown here, it's a 3-point game with about 3 minutes left.
Oh, yeah.
And my defense is going to get me the ball back because they're playing lights out.
Well, finally. Yes. They were a little late to show up to the party.
But when they showed up,
you
they
know why
up.
I picked them now. And you saw the skittishness in Tom Brady.
Yes.
You saw the phantom flinches. Well, there's nobody around him, and he's flinching.
You get hit a couple of times, you're going to flinch.
I'm not blaming him, Steven. I am describing.
See,
I didn't flinch.
Because I've never hit you before.
I'm fearless.
I've never hit you before.
Have you wanted to?
But have I?
Have you wanted to?
Hit you on your shoulder?
In the face. Have you ever wanted to cold cock me?
No.
That's bull crap.
But if
you ever want to push me in front of a moving train, you have.
If you sit next to a guy, and every morning, he comes and he hits you in the shoulder. Right?
Yeah.
After about the 6th day,
you're going to go Pavlovian
dog.
You're going
to go ready. He comes in, you're gonna move your shoulder.
Pavlovian dog.
There you go. You're going to move your shoulder because you're expecting the hit. And that's, look, his offensive line has been Swiss cheese.
They're horrid.
Okay? He's getting smacked. And so, yeah.
He drops back to pass. And 2 weeks ago,
did you see the one sack that Von Miller had? He went all the way around the line.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady kept kind of hiding. And then he came all around and boom. And then he finally got hit.
Look, a few weeks ago, Tom Brady was simply checking for his number one receiver, ducking, and then doing something spastically. And we mean that in the American form, thank you, not the British form. We know that that's a pejorative over there.
Right.
And this week now, he was just flinching from the go.
Well,
from the word go. And
you got Doomerville and Von Miller, and you got some
and
guys
they weren't
that get
effective
after
enough earlier. I was really certain that New England's mojo would fall off last week. But instead, it will last for a little while longer. And look, they're going to win this division because they've got the Bills, the Dolphins, and the Jets in it.
Who was talking all the crazy talk about Wes Welker getting traded midseason?
Oh, that was a lot of people.
Yeah, including me.
I'm like, that was a lot of people, dude. I can't even name them.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Man, 13 catches, man, for a buck
Although
seven.
He didn't endear himself to Bill Belichick after the game.
He made his little sarcasm
remarks that when sarcasm reflects the truth, it cuts a little deeper.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Steven's like, oh, yeah, Steven, you're an alien.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not an alien. There's no chance you're an alien.
Well,
so sarcasm
I might
is
technically be an illegal alien, so
No, your father fought in a war to win his right to be an American citizen, and God bless him.
Yes.
So, but it when you say, yeah, Bill Belichick, yeah, he wasn't real crazy about me. And
yeah,
it's like, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, your sarcasm is reflecting the truth. It's not going to endear you to the
really,
Big Bill. I still haven't seen the football life that includes the 95 Browns.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It's DVR, dude.
Even
I've just
Trisha was
I can't
like,
wait to watch it. Have Trisha tell Didi so I can watch it with Didi. Because she says, if you put on a sports thing, I'll fall asleep. I don't want to fall asleep.
This one's good.
Yeah.
So the final there, 31-21. The Patriots take care of the Broncos.
And take an insurmountable lead in their division.
This is a win that I'm not very happy that I got it, but I got it.
But so you got it.
I'll move on. Let's get off to the games of the week.
And I am happy to tell you on Thursday Night Football.
I am the smartest man alive.
Feels so good.
I so really wanted to take the Denver New England game.
Yeah, there's no chance in hell that was going to happen. The Cardinals-Rams was the surest thing I had. Rams, 1.5-point dogs at home. And, Steven, fear the road, the home dog.
I should have stayed with my pick of the Rams.
Fear the home dog.
I should have.
Those Los Angeles Rams, Cleveland Rams, St. Louis Rams, those are all the cities that they've been in, not in any particular order. Those Rams are a lot of fun to watch. And even with the loss of Danny Amendola, that cuts deeply. By the way, do you know that Danny Amendola could have died from that? Did you read that?
I did not read that.
He broke his clavicle.
Yes.
And clavicles are supposed to break up.
Yes.
His clavicle broke down towards his aorta.
Oh.
Nearly punctured his aorta. That's a big bone to be puncturing your aorta. As Steve's grabbing his heart.
Stop.
So, being said, Danny Amendola's loss is going to be huge.
Speedy recovery for
Danny.
Yeah,
we do. And
second year in a row now that dude gets injured. And
he made it to week 5 this year. Yeah, last year is week one. Maybe next year is week 10.
I'm bummed
that he's not coming to London, probably. There's no reason he makes the trip.
No.
And I was really looking forward to getting to know him and just, you know, letting him know. Dude, I've been watching you for years.
Getting to know you. And getting to
know all about you. That's fine.
You started looking at me, so I stopped.
I just wanted to finish my thought about Danny, which was, I don't know what I tell somebody. Because you don't want to freak them out.
Yeah.
But it's like, Danny, let me tell you this.
I've been following
you. Exactly. Like Jimmy Graham, Jimmy doesn't know that he's my boyfriend. He doesn't know, and nor should he know.
I've been like singing your praises for the last 5 years.
But I have. Dude, I've been.
With a side of
So I asked Dee, we saw a highlight that included the young man that we saw outside Westminster Abbey
Greg Camarillo.
6 years ago.
Yeah.
Greg Camarillo now plays for? I don't even know. I can't even remember, and I saw the highlight. So we saw a highlight with Greg Camarillo.
Honestly.
And Dee Dee actually lit up and said, I remember meeting him. He was so nice.
Yeah.
But Dee Dee remembered. I'm like, I remember all the players I've met, but she actually remembered meeting him, and I thought that was sweet.
He's with the Saints now. He was in the
there
Saints.
There you go. He was in that Saints game and the historic game there. But Cardinals-Rams, look.
Robert Quinn made my good this week. 3 sacks, 6 quarterback pressures. He hit Cobb another 2 times. He deflected a pass. He forced the fumble. This guy was everywhere, and maybe it's just me. Call me crazy. But if you see a guy who continuously is dominating your offensive lineman, maybe, just maybe, you think about giving him a little help. You put a tight end over there to help chip the guy or something, because Quinn dominated that offensive lineman. I don't even know the guy's name. That's how bad he was. I didn't even want to take the time to find out who he was. That's how bad he was. And at some point, as an offensive coordinator, you say, yo, coach, we need to do something
Steven,
about
I start with the quarterback. Isn't it the quarterback's job to help set protections?
Yes.
Okay, start with the quarterback. And let's just say that he's so busy getting his bell rung, which a phrase we're not allowed to use anymore. I understand that. It's not politically correct to say bell rung anymore. But he's so busy getting chased for his life. Well, because it shows insensitivity. Mike Shanahan didn't use that phrase.
Yes.
But he might as well have to describe Robert Griffin's injury.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, it's just a minor concussion. He'll be back. Ooh, you stepped in it.
Mild concussion.
Is there any kind of mild death? Mild marriage?
Yes.
No, all brain injuries are serious, and they are. We're not saying they aren't, but it's a very sensitive time in the NFL history. So to help set protections, it starts with the quarterback. But he notices, and if he doesn't, then...
But the quarterback has to... He also has to run whatever the coach is calling.
Sure.
Cobb's not like... He's not Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, who when they see something,
I'm going to ask for a little extra help.
Exactly. And Cobb, you know, he's fighting for a job there. He's looking over his shoulder.
Scary skeleton.
Skeleton might come in and take his job.
And it's Halloween and nearly.
Exactly. Halloween's right around the corner. Skeletons can come out of the closet. All right. So he's just going to call.
John Skeleton's coming out of the closet?
No, that's not what I said.
Headline news, so, film at 11.
So I'm just saying is that Cobb's not going to ask the coach and say, hey, you know, let's give this guy some help. Because you know what? Quite frankly, on the other side of the ball, Jake Long was tearing them apart as well.
Long was
getting in there. Everybody was hitting Cobb.
Long
Cobb lost
like
his helmet dead. Twice in the game.
They didn't lose. He knew where it was. It was next to him.
Was not on his head. Covered it. That's
okay,
all.
Okay, Steven, okay, quick question here. Yeah. And you're going to go on the hot seat, but it won't be that painful, okay? So
can you make it lukewarm? Because it's already kind of warm in here.
Well, why not? It's already warm in here. I'm freezing in a long sleeve shirt.
How can you be freezing? You're a girl. You're turning into a girl, Jeffrey.
Well, it has been questioned whether my testosterone levels are what they should be.
You know what, Jeff? Speaking of that, do you remember us interviewing Sean Salisbury at the Super Bowl and
Absolutely.
Him talking about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Pituitary gland injuries from repetitive brain injuries that affect testosterone levels that leave you basically
have
not you feeling
been,
too much like a man.
Does Dee hit you in the head? Does Dee hit you at nights when you're
I've
sleeping?
I've had head blows.
She smacks you?
No, but I've actually had several concussions in my life.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, although I swam.
Yeah.
No, I never ran into a wall instead
of a
flip
turn.
Wall? No, I never swam into a wall. I have broken fingers.
Yes.
On slamming into a wall with my hand.
Right.
But no, these were just from being uncoordinated and falling down.
Oh, okay.
And then the time Mark pushed me into a pool and I hit my head on the deck and came unconscious underwater. Regaining consciousness underwater is a very strange thing.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But Steven Miranda?
I'm here.
Okay. I wonder if I remember what it is. We were talking about the Cardinals and the Rams. We were talking about setting protections.
All the hits.
We were talking about
taking.
All the hits that Cobb was taking.
The hot seat's getting warmer.
Lord, the hot seat is cold. Wow, that's so sad. It was a
I'm
good
sorry.
Question.
I took you on the tangent with Salisbury. And
that was a sad story.
It was.
It was a very sad story.
Have you seen Broke yet?
No, it's DVR'd. DVR'd.
Stop with the Simpsons and go watch some of the shows on your DVR.
Finally having fun with the Simpsons.
I
got
know.
Six friends.
I like Simpsons. Six, that's it?
I'm not
like 30.
You. I'm not you, Steven. Okay. And I don't go on to message boards and say, please friend me.
Yeah.
How many message boards did you post that?
One. No. Hold on. I didn't post it anywhere. I went to a message board where someone said, add your name here and you know, and you'll get added.
Okay,
so
that's
I
my
just
point.
Took, like,
that's my point.
I took the most recent 20, and I added them, and they all added me.
They all added you.
Yes.
Wow.
And they all come over and trash my freaking houses.
You get money for cleaning it
up. But that's a good
up.
Thing.
Yes,
I'm learning
a
that's
good
a good thing now. Okay.
Steven thought I was being mean to him because I used every
you
roll of toilet paper I had.
You keep papering all my trees.
Because you get money to clean it up.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yes.
Okay.
There's nothing bad in the game so far. That's what's weird.
Yeah.
It's like, it is like Farmville, but nothing dies. Your fish don't die. Your crops don't die. That being said, there seems to be nothing bad happening. The Cardinals beat the Rams and made me, fortunately for this week at least.
I am the smartest man alive!
You can stop playing that, okay?
I shall.
17-3, the final score there. The Rams improved to 3-2, Jeffrey. And for the first time in 93 games, they have a winning record.
Above 500. Feels
they
good.
They have a winning record.
Steven,
the third longest such streak in NFL history.
Do you respect them a little bit now? Okay. I've got them at 17 in
How
my
about
powerful
that? What's
rankings.
That? Like two and 3.5 inches?
Well,
inches?
Again, one of my favorite jokes. You know why women are so bad at math.
Yes.
Because this is 7 inches.
People keep telling them this is 7 inches. But
yeah.
No, yes.
So the Rams went from 20 in my rankings 2 weeks ago, 18 last week, 17 this week.
You only bumped them up one.
I'm not going crazy, but I already had them higher than most people would have.
Yes.
I didn't have them anywhere in the moss.
Well,
you know who's just above them?
Who?
The Dallas Cowboys.
Wow. Look at that.
So there you go. But they were on a bye. So
I don't know. You know, you put those two teams together, I would think the Cowboys handled them pretty well.
I would say I would love to watch the game. The Cowboys should.
should.
But do they is the real question. And this is a scrappy little Rams team.
You know what? I need to see something real quick here. I'm looking because
right.
I want to look. It's not that I'm disrespecting the Rams. I don't want to say.
Well, you kind of, especially since they're coming to London, and I'm going to tell Jeff Fisher. I will tell on you. He's going to Lovie Smith you.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to call you out in a press conference.
All right. The Rams play in Miami this week. They got Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
If they go into Miami.
Sack Tannehill 6 times.
And win the game.
And win the game, which they should. I will be picking them.
I don't know. Miami has Look, opened my eyes.
Miami is not Mossy Green anymore, okay?
Good. They should not be.
They've gone from 31 to 23. That's a huge jump.
Right,
that
gonna,
is the big riser.
I'm going to give you this one more time, and then we'll move on.
I am the smartest man alive.
So okay, that's your way of saying I'm not. I'm done talking about the Rams. So just let's move on.
3-2. 3-2 okay. Is now. Jeffrey has 3 challenge game wins. I have 2. Game on, baby.
Speaking of challenge games, I don't mean to bring this up and make you uncomfortable.
Have
yeah,
people
I do.
Emailed you?
Yeah. Well, yeah. People have emailed me.
Do you have suggestions?
I know what your punishment is going to be.
What am I doing?
I am here to announce right now on Recordedly Live Radio.
Okay.
Recordedly Live Radio, Steven Miranda's 2011 punishment.
What am I doing?
You are going to be at Speaker Corner at Hyde Park.
What is Speaker Corner?
Okay. Hyde Park. You know Hyde Park.
Yes, I do know Hyde Park.
There is a corner of Hyde Park, the
northwest.
Is that
the home of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
Okay. I mean, it's near, what's the...
I know Hyde Park. I know where Hyde Park is.
Okay. So the northwest corner of Hyde Park,
yes.
There is a little section that has been set apart for the expression of free speech.
Yes.
Are you playing The Simpsons while I just heard Homer's voice.
He said, visitors, better put on pants.
Oh, you haven't turned off the push alerts.
Yes, I don't know how to do that.
You turn off the push alerts, yeah.
Because last night in the middle of the night, I got a visitor, and I got that.
There's nothing like having sex and having Homer say, better than my regular job. Or having sex and having Homer say, sucks to be him. The wife doesn't appreciate these things.
No. Turn
she
off
really
the push
doesn't.
Alerts. Turn
yeah.
off the push alerts.
Okay, I'm not in the Simpsons game, but I'm glad you're not either, because you're listening to your punishment.
I am.
On live,
and,
recorded
okay, so
radio.
Speaker, that's where people go and they can get
express
on a soapbox.
Free speech.
And talk about whatever they want.
And it's usually quite a nice tourist thing to do.
All
I'm
right.
surprised that you haven't done it.
I've not.
I have not taken you, and I'm sorry.
Okay, so.
We'll be staying closer to Hyde Park this year, right. So you will stand there. You'll have essentially a handheld microphone of the paper variety.
Okay,
so,
not a real mic.
Well, just because I don't know how to logistically pull this off.
Can I just take this one?
You can take it, but it won't be connected to anything.
Okay, that's fine.
I want
that'll be the funny part of it.
Or maybe it actually will be recording. Yes, it'll be recording because
so that
there,
can
there
hear
will be
what
video.
I say.
There will be video. So, but for the people that are in London that weekend,
yes.
You get to participate in this treat, and I will dial in the dates. I'm going to make it on Saturday. It's got to be on Saturday. It will be before the party. I know there's the Trafalgar Square thing, but what I'm thinking is that we take an hour during the Trafalgar Square thing to have all of our friends join us at Hyde Park for this moment where Stephen is going to sing London Bridges Falling Down.
Oh, my God.
With special lyrics enhanced by Jeff Ellis.
Oh, my God. So what are the lyrics?
I haven't written them all yet, but they're going to be awesome.
So that's the London Bridge is falling down, falling down. What if people
falling
start
down.
Like, stoning me?
First of all, people don't throw things at people.
They
that was the first place I heard the word to self-pleasure.
So
okay, in case there's kids listening, that was the first time out loud I had ever heard that word spoken.
Okay.
Was 30 years ago when I was first in London.
Yeah.
That's the kinds of things that can be said there. You can say the Queen is a blankety blankety blank and nobody bothers you.
So
and people do say that.
I will not get, you know, thrown
you can't.
Rotten tomatoes, cabbage will get thrown at me and stuff.
Somebody could throw something at you, but these specially enhanced lyrics are not to be insensitive. They're just to be funny.
So
and
London
they,
Bridges falling down.
Falling down.
My Fair Lady, that one?
And then there's lots of verses, though. There's okay. lots of verses.
I only know the one verse.
Yeah. Why don't you, while I describe this, you Google quickly the okay. lyrics so you'll start to get an idea of what we're talking about. There'll probably be 10 verses that you're going to sing.
10 verses?
10 verses.
People don't want to hear me up there for 10 verses.
They actually would like 15. So one of them is going to be about how bad the Cowboys are, of course, and you know how only little girls would root for the Dallas Cowboys, and how rooting for a Dallas Cowboy might make one play for the other team. It'll be big fun. There'll be a nice crowd of supportive people who like you and love you. And you'll just be singing some provocative lyrics occasionally.
Falling down the bridge. Okay, next. Build it up with iron bars. Build it up with iron bars, my fair lady.
But iron bars can bend and break.
Iron bars will bend and break.
So therefore.
Build it up with gold and silver. Build it up with gold and silver, my fair
gold
lady.
And silver can
That's
be
all I got.
Dude,
That's
there's so many verses to the song, it's not
That's
even
all
funny.
I got.
With sticks and stones, and there's all sorts of things you build it up with.
But okay.
we're going to talk
sticks
about.
Sticks and stones will crumble and break. Crumble and break.
We're going to have
away
the
mud and clay. No!
Wait, you haven't even heard the pro-American verses.
Okay.
Which is, London Bridge is falling down. America will come save your sorry butts again. Butts again. Butts again. America will come save your sorry butts again. My fair lady. So it's going to have some nice pro-American, anti-British sentiment in it. And you're going to sing it proudly.
Okay.
That's your punishment. How do you feel?
My fair lady. I'm going to see if I can get a My Fair Lady to join me in singing it.
Oh, no, you're going to sing it by yourself. You'll have
I
cue cards.
I can't have a
partner?
Friend.
No. Did I have a friend run the 40-yard dash?
You had a friend do the dance with you, the hobo dance in front of the
I'm going purely off of most recent humiliating punishment, Stephen.
Yes, you did not have
and
a friend.
And we're trying to up the ante in ways that don't get people arrested.
You're going
to
get me arrested.
No, I'm not. You're at Speaker's Corner. You can say anything you want. That's the beauty of it.
Anything. I'll get you, and I'll make it look like a bloody accident.
All right.
Okay,
so,
let's move
and
on.
Then, so everyone knows, starting at 9:30, we will be partying along the way, but starting at 9:30, we will be at Sport Cafe.
I need Advil.
We will be at Sport Cafe for our listener party. We can only admit 90. I have gotten a lot of emails, and that's great. I need first name, last name, not nicknames, so you can go on the list. We will be sharing the facility with the New England Patriots, their cheerleaders, some players, Mr. Kraft, his few favorite friends. We'll be sharing the facility with them. And for show donors...
I thought they were vacating at like 9:30 or 10.
That's
not what the email said.
They have a fans party from 6 to 9:30.
From 6 to 9:30.
A fans party.
So this is what we're going to try and do for show donors. From 6
show
to 9:30.
Donors, we can get a few of you in. So if you are a show donor, you will already know that Stephen will be sending you out an official invitation. If you are, first of all, thank you for the couple of new show donors. We so appreciate it. It's the only way we can actually get over there. Nobody pays us to go over there, okay?
Yeah.
We pay our own way. We lose a lot of money, and we make a little bit of money working when we're over there. So this is all just no guilt, just saying we like to do this. It's fun. But we could use some help on the money side. So for show donors, we can get you into the New England Patriots party, have a chance to meet Robert Kraft.
And how many tickets do we get for that?
I will make it happen.
Okay.
So for show donors, you're in, but I need to know that you want to go to the pre-party with the Patriots.
This is the pre-party, not our party. Our party starts at 9:30.
Our party starts at 9:30. We've got 90 free people we can get into a reserved area.
First 90 names on the list.
Get into the reserved area.
Get into the reserved area
for free. And do not have to pay, as you, I think
or
free.
Or stand in line.
I think free means you don't have to pay, doesn't it?
Yes, it is.
And you don't have to stand in line. You can jump the queue. You go to the front, to the doorman. You give them your name, your friend's names.
We're here with
you get a wristband,
blah,
you
blah,
go
blah.
In.
We're here for the NFL Ransom Raves party.
Exactly.
Boom, you're there.
And it is such a blast. I cannot tell you. It has been truly one of the highlights of my year. I mean, it's up there with Christmas as far as days I look forward to.
We have a great time.
It's a very special time. So that's the deets.
So if you could make it, send an email to Jeff.
At RARN.net, please,
right.
as soon as possible.
If you are a show donor We'll verify this with an email.
Right.
If you're a show donor and you want to make the pre-party,
yes,
which is from 6 to 9:30 with the New England Patriots, let Jeff know as well. And it's only a handful, about 20, probably the first 20, maybe the first 10. Okay, let's say the first 10 for sure. We'll get you tickets to get into that event.
Yeah. Okay?
All right.
So send in your emails. And here, please be respectful. And most of our listeners are way too cool for this. Only RSVP if you're going to go.
Yes.
Not if, you know, I live in Texas and I've always wanted to go to England. No! You have tickets. You're going to be there, okay?
Yes.
You're going to be in London, and you really, really
plan. And we even made it on Saturday night because Charlie guilted me into it.
We moved it for you, Chaz. Grow some hair. God's sake.
Grow some hair. Do you think she's going to have hair by the time we get there?
I don't know. I'm still going to give her a kiss.
I don't know.
And Alistair, I'm going to give you a kiss.
Yes, we love those guys. They're awesome.
Okay, that being said, let's get on with the show.
The Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Battle of Pennsylvania.
The Keystone Capers.
That was a premature bell.
Premature bell. Sorry. Yeah, it really was. But for the Keystone Capers, the Eagles at the Steelers. Steelers 3.5-point favorites.
I did say that the return of the turnover machine that was Michael Vick would return.
Wow. And three more?
Three fumbles, two of them lost.
Oh, my God.
So here's his turnovers this year. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Six interceptions. He's fumbled eight times, lost five of them. So 11 total turnovers in
five games.
Now, 11 and five.
Andy Reid says... He doesn't say he goofed, by the way.
He didn't goof this time.
He didn't. I don't know why he didn't goof. He should have goofed, but we'll fix this.
How are you going to fix Michael Irvin turning Michael Vick turning the ball over? How are you going to fix that? He said, last week against the Giants, he didn't have any turnovers. I know how to protect the football when I need to. So he didn't need to?
Apparently not.
First and goal from the 3-yard line? You don't need to protect the football at that point?
Apparently not.
And Michael Irvin had a good point. Why are you even running Mike Vick first and goal from the three when you got freaking LeSean McCoy?
Yeah, have you heard of Shady McCoy? He's quite a popular player.
I don't get it. Part of me has a little bit of joy in it.
As an NFC East fan, that doesn't include any team that's not the Cowboys.
But he's become a turnover machine. I don't know where he comes from, but if it doesn't get fixed soon. If it doesn't get fixed soon, I said, Jeffrey, I think in the next two games, if Michael Vick continues to turn over the ball, Andy Reid might look to the rookie, Foles, and bring him in.
Wow. Bring Foles into the fold.
Yes.
That would be amazing. They have fallen to they continue falling in the powerful rankings down to 13.
Yeah, they dropped to 3-2. The Steelers improved to 2-2. And
you'll like my quip here.
16-14, the final score.
Losing by a few points is not the answer to winning by a few points.
You know what, Jim? It's funny because I'm sitting there, and the score is 14-13, right? Michael Vick led him down the field.
Yes.
Got the touchdown. It's 14-13. And I'm like, there's still 5 minutes and change. And I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe the Steelers can go down and score a touchdown or something. And so I'm thinking to myself, the Steelers march down the field, and they get a field goal range. And then they get conservative all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no.
Uh-oh, this is where bad things happen.
Wait a minute. Why are you going to put it on the foot of Shuey Sham? Why don't you let Ben Roethlisberger... Roethlisberger's marched you down the field, throwing the ball. Now all of a sudden you're just going to... Shuey Sham! And so I'm thinking to myself... He misses this in the Eagles win by one point.
Again. Have you read this book? Yeah, I read it.
Fortunately, Shuey Sham was true. I know it's Sweezum. Relax.
Ben Roethlisberger converted on a pair of crucial third downs during a very patient 64-yard drive to put them in position for Sean Sweezum's 34-yard field goal as time expired to lift the Steelers to a 16-14 win.
Is that the same as the commercial, rain. Don't squeeze the Sweezum?
Don't squeeze the Sweezum.
16-14, the final. Moving on.
Steelers, you got a tough road to hoe.
The Atlanta Falcons try to remain perfect against the Washington Redskins.
And in all our nation's
capital at 2-2
was concuss the quarterback.
Yeah, but that didn't happen until the third quarter, Jeff.
Yeah, and then what was weird
is Cousins came in.
Kurt
threw a
Cousins
bomb.
Looked fantastic. Now, mind you, you've game planned all week if you're the Atlanta Falcons for Robert Griffin III.
Yes.
So when on steps to the field, a complete unknown in Kirk Cousins, complete unknown, and he delivers a
still
bomb.
Still no reason that you allow Santana Moss to run wide open down the field. Nobody. Even it's just Santana Moss. They're not gonna. Are you kidding me? You got Kirk Cousins in the backfield. He just came in. There's no way he's gonna throw the ball to Santana Moss. Oops.
I'm declaring this the era of the unsafe safeties.
Unsafe safeties.
They're not safe.
Why
they're
are
dangerous.
They not safe?
They're letting guys get behind them.
Yeah.
They're not keeping the play in front of them. They're being overly pursuing on plays. They're not watching. They're not looking back to not get the pass interference call.
There's a lot of safeties.
It's the
in
not
the
safe safety time.
And some cornerbacks who they
they're failing on assignments.
Let's call them riverboat gamblers. Okay, they
look
into the
Cromartie.
Back. They look into the backfield,
right?
And they're looking at the quarterback, and they're reading the quarterback's
yes.
eyes, and they gamble based on what the quarterback. If the quarterback does a little shimmy with his shoulder,
right.
they're going to gamble on that.
You know what?
And they get burned.
Mark Sanchez does that little hunch
yes.
with the shoulder.
Yes.
And how good is he? He's a quarterback rating of minus 15, I think.
Yeah, but that's because his receivers keep dropping the ball.
That's true, but he also throws a lot of really bad passes.
He does.
It's really hard to know. If I'm a receiver, is this going to be one of the good passes or the bad passes?
Doesn't
and when
matter.
That's in your mind, it that
if
hesitation
it hits
you
in
keeps
the hands,
you from. No.
Catch it.
Oh, my God, it was a good one. Oh, I didn't know that. I wasn't ready.
I wasn't ready for the good one?
Yeah.
Always be ready for the good ones.
So, yeah, congratulations.
Atlanta
look, Matt
Falcons,
Ryan,
24-17.
In uncharted waters, 5-0, never in club history.
Is it
never.
Time for the Redskins to maybe give Billy Cundiff the boot?
Oh, wow,
they're willing,
Steven.
Early
Steven,
in the game,
yeah.
they're winning 7-0. They get in field goal range, a chip shot, 31-yarder, and he misses it. That's a big difference from being up 10-0 to being up 7-0. That's a big difference. What did the Falcons do? Because they got the short field. They marched down the field.
They score a touchdown.
Tie at 7-7. Instead of being up 10-0, in the span of 5 minutes, it's now tied 7-7 because my kicker couldn't make a chippy. And last week, he missed three. Now,
three.
Fortunately, last week,
they won the game. Made the one at
the end.
Yeah, good.
But he missed three of them. That game should have never gone to the
exactly.
end.
Exactly.
Now, this game, things change. People say, yeah, but it was early in the game and he missed a field goal. The dynamics of a football game change when it's 10-0 or it's 7-0.
And you're frequently giving away field position.
And you exactly, because you're missing the field goal.
From the 40, from the 35, instead being at the 17, which it so frequently is. There's
exactly.
my next thing, is
yeah.
guys taking it out
yeah,
when they have
stupid.
No skill to do that.
If it's 10-0 and you kick off and let's say you get Atlanta at the, say,
we'll give them the 20.
Let's give them the 20 yard line.
Let's give them the 20, even
though
they're not.
That's a big difference when it's 7-0 and, oh, now Atlanta's got the ball at their own 35 yard line.
Yeah.
That is different. That just changes
the
dynamics of the
game.
And Billy Cundiff's already missed five field goals.
What did I tweet about him that was clever?
I don't remember.
I said something about Billy Cundiff that I don't remember either. Yeah.
I don't remember. But Jeff,
I was tweeting a little bit.
He's made 7 out of 12. He's missed 5 field goals already this year. Mm. And it's week 5. That's one a game. You can't be missing one field goal every game. You can't do it. That's your only job, dude. Your only job is to make a 31-yard field goal. And sometimes you got to kick it off when we score touchdowns. But that's it. And
that's
he's not
beautiful.
Getting it done.
He's not.
And he is, remember, what does he get left for, remember? We had the Cundiff zone last
we
year at
did.
The Super Bowl. And it'll be back there yet again this year.
Oh, it will be back there with enthusiasm this year.
If I were the Redskins, you know what? Sorry, Billy. We're going to go back to Gano. Yes, it's going to be Gano.
Yes, Gano. Okay,
because at least Gano made the chippies. He missed the 40s.
He missed the long
ones. And the 45s and the 50s, but he's going to make the chippies.
But you know what? So interesting is what a long field goal is nowadays is becoming redefined thanks to Blair Walsh's and the Rams kick, Zuerlein and stuff. 55 yards is now your minimum kick. Jeez.
Zuerlein. A kicker.
I love that kid.
Made my good this week.
Hits the back of
he
the net.
He made my good this week.
From 50-plus yards consistently, middle of the uprights, back of the net.
On Thursday, when he made the 53-yarder,
yeah.
He became the sixth kicker in NFL history to successfully make their first four field goal attempts of 50-plus yards, making a 60-yarder. And, Jeffrey, he is 13 for 13. He is... with one more field goal successfully made, will become the first player in NFL history to make his first 14 kicks.
Okay, here's some of my tweets that were pretty good.
Yeah.
Matt Mayoko says, there's no traffic getting to Candlestick Park. There's some things I just don't understand. And I wrote, gas is too expensive. Everyone's walking to the game. Bengals eliminator not looking too strong. Welcome to the NFL, Kirk Cousins. And then to Cam Newton, Hello Kitty would have been embarrassed by that throw.
You're talking about that one? Yeah, that ain't
bad. Yeah.
That was
hey, but
throw.
I can't find my thing about him. Must have been a Facebook
right.
post.
Moving
anyways.
On, the Falcons improved to 5-0 for the first time in team history.
Wow. And if you see Art Blank's face, it's like, this is so cool.
Yeah, this is
so cool.
I like to keep winning. It's
I
like
would like
so
to keep
better than losing.
So much better than losing.
You have that
next
quote,
for
don't
you
do?
Guys is
don't
the Oakland Raiders.
I need that one right now.
Yeah, winning probably. I do. Next up is the Oakland Raiders, and if they don't take
no,
care
the
of
Chargers,
the Raiders.
San Diego Chargers. Chargers.
I was talking about
you're
Atlanta.
Talking about the Falcons. Oh,
the
yeah.
Falcons.
The, Falcons. Oh, the Falcons are gonna they'll take care of the Raiders. They're 5-0. The Redskins dropped to 2-3. And Atlanta is looking pretty formidable right now in the NFC. Moving on to the San Diego Chargers versus
Diego.
The New Orleans Saints. Sunday Night Football.
Oh, man.
History, history, history.
History was made. Very, very proud.
This, I guarantee. Oh,
I already took my dollar.
Yeah, you did. You took a premature dollar takeage.
Here it is.
I'm accusing you.
The dollar bet was that the San Diego Chargers would once again have more than 400 yards total offense. They had 427.
Did you not question at some point whether or not they would do that?
At the end of the game? No, because
in the fourth
quarter. I totally thought they were going to go march and get a touchdown at the end of the game to tie and go to overtime. And it wasn't until all of these freaking calls. I have never seen an offensive pass interference call on a tight end for what Antonio Gates did. The
OPI.
Only reason it happened was because Harper tripped over his own freaking feet and fell to the ground. That's the only reason they threw it. And that was not on Gates. He just simply slapped Harper's hand off and caught the ball. Beautiful.
OPI.
And they call offense pass first. And I'm like, why? Harper tripped. If you go back and watch that replay from the backside, Harper, when Gates takes his hand off of him, trips over both of his feet like he had two left feet. Mm-hmm. He trips over him. He falls. And that's what they called OPI on. Could not believe it. Absolutely. Then on Phillip Rivers' interception, the dude was so over Floyd, like over his back, pulling his jersey, holding his arm before the ball gets there. It hits him on the shoulder pad, bumps it, gets intercepted. Where was the flag on that? So Antonio Gates flicks somebody's hand off. And the guy accidentally trips himself, and that's OPI, but there's no defensive pass interference for a guy basically mugging Floyd.
How much nicer is it to complain about real officials
it's
than
so much nicer because
it's
I know
so
that
much, it's
they,
so much nicer.
They should have gotten that.
That's your job, dude.
Yes.
That's your job.
Yes.
It's so much better.
Anyway,
people are like,
so
real officials make mistakes
they
too.
They do.
Shut up, okay? We want to blame the real guys.
Yes.
We don't want to blame the guys that shouldn't be there in the first place.
Did you see them on Inside the NFL?
No.
Elliot, the head official who was at the Seahawks-Packers game, who made the final, who was in charge of...
Who received the phone call from Mike McCarthy saying, I totally absolve you of any
yes,
culpability.
But also got a whole bunch of calls from people from Wisconsin because somehow his cell phone got out.
You know...
From people from Wisconsin.
There's not enough dumb people in the world. You know, I know he got death threats or something,
yes,
probably, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, death threats. Mind you, before people go that the world is degenerating into yes. a cesspool, What has happened is that the same number of stupid people exist today, percentage to the population, as has always existed. What everybody has now is a microphone.
Right.
Okay? That's all that's changed. So the idiocy, Kansas City, people booing Matt Castle's injury. No, they're actually Ravens fans, I heard somebody say. Really? Baltimore fans travel down to Missouri to see football games? I think not. There may be 100, but that booing was louder than 100 people. That was your fans. Look, but people have always behaved boorishly. They always will.
In a day and age now where players could possibly lose their lives playing football, that's how fast the game of football and how strong these players are now in the NFL. That an injury.
You're talking about playing properly.
Yeah.
Right.
That an injury could kill somebody.
Sure.
When somebody is down on the ground, you don't cheer, you don't boo. I mean, you just don't do it.
How about pray? If you're that inclined. If you're not, I don't care.
Yeah. Or
I respect your views, okay?
If you don't
respect.
Really particularly like the individual,
just sit down.
Just
be quiet.
Shut up.
But still, I would hope that people would want to give kind thoughts to somebody,
who's
injured.
Yeah, yeah. Especially somebody who is on your team. Now, I understand back in the day, Michael Irvin, he got injured, basically the injury that ended his career in Philadelphia, and he's laying there on the ground motionless, and Philly fans are cheering. That is classless, but
it's to be
Philly,
expected at some
and it's
level.
The opponent.
Right.
Okay? But this is Matt Castle, your own player for your team. And you're cheering. Nah, I just think.
Okay, I got one more thing to say. It's going to be slightly controversial.
Okay.
Are you ready to take the heat with me on this?
Okay.
It's about the little round ball, and it's about the infield fly rule.
Oh.
Look.
What was controversial? That was not an infield fly.
No, I'm talking. Technically, it might have been. Okay, you could.
Dude was basically in the outfield.
It's misnamed.
How is that?
It's misnamed.
In the world. An infield fly rule when he has to run out into the outfield to try and catch the ball. And the reason he doesn't catch it is because he thinks the outfielder calls him off.
Really couldn't, probably.
No, he backed off away from that ball because he thought the outfielder called him off.
Maybe. That's not my point at
all.
Right. It's misnamed. It should be called the something else. Okay.
Is the catch pop fly rule?
The trying to help the other team not have a double play get it turned against them by misplaying a ball. Because you could actually have a warning track infield fly, and that's obviously not on the infield. It's just misnamed.
Right.
So that was handled, but then the fans start throwing things onto the field.
By the way, I still don't know how you can turn a double play when the guy running better run to first base.
If you drop the ball on purpose, let's say that the left fielder is really skilled, okay, really skilled, got one of the best cannons in the game, calls off the shortstop, I got the ball. He lets it drop right in front of him.
Uh-huh.
He throws to third, which isn't that far a throw. Now you've got a force out of third. He throws to second. And now you've got a double play. He throws to first. You've possibly got
a triple
play.
There was only one runner. There was
two
one.
Runners. First
there
and second.
I thought there was only
first
runner
and second
first.
With okay. one out. So All there right. only could have been a double play here. But you conceivably could have a triple play if there was no outs. Could happen. So that's the point of the rule, which is why. But I'm moving on now. Fans are throwing things onto the field.
Yes.
Thousands of people are throwing things onto the field.
That was bad.
That's what everyone says. And it was. Especially because I like Joe posted. What you know, the problem is you're in Atlanta. The chance of whatever's being thrown at you is probably half full of tobacco juice. Oh.
Yeah.
That was a good slam against the South and funny. But I understand with the outrage, I understood the boorish behavior of throwing a plastic cup. A paper cup of drink or something. I understood that. Is it ugly? Yes. And we're supposed to have zero tolerance for boorish behavior. I understand, but I kind of got it. It totally could have.
I'm not on the same page.
I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm asking you to stand alongside me as people throw things at me and tell me that I'm an ass. Because look, this is my opinion. I understood.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done it.
Right.
But I wouldn't have necessarily stopped people around me from doing it. I wouldn't have encouraged them to do it.
Right.
But I didn't. It wasn't nearly as dangerous a situation as the announcers were making it out to be.
I think my problem is
that's what I was most annoyed with, is the exaggeration of the danger that could be involved. It's not like people unscrewed their chair and threw their chair out there. Right. That could kill somebody.
Right.
Plastic containers seldom have injured and killed people. That's all I'm saying. Don't exaggerate it. It was it delayed the game, but it wasn't nearly as ugly as the announcers made it sound.
And this goes back to the cheering the injury of Matt Cassel.
Correct. That's what
fans
starts all this.
Now think that they are I paid my ticket.
I've been coming to these games 35 straight games. We suck
for this game.
You have no idea how much it hurts me.
I can do whatever I want. I'm going to do it. Because I paid the money, and that's my right. No, it isn't.
Rich Gannon dumped a caller yesterday that was supporting the cheering.
Right.
He dumped the caller.
I probably would have done
that. He was very patient with the guy to a point. Yeah. And the guy starts going on and on and on about how it's justified because he's been suffering with this team for so long.
Yeah.
And this team just makes so many bad choices on personnel. And Rich says to the guy, dude, get a life. It's a football game. It's a football game. Get a life. Yeah. And no, that's what Pat Kerwin says. Yeah. And Rich comes back with, I already dumped it, Pat. So he's not listening. I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
So, boo to you if you were one of the ones who cheered Matt Cassel's injury. I don't know how we accelerated to that game because we were in Chargers Saints.
We were in Chargers Saints. First of all, let's give a round of applause.
Oh, Drew freaking Brees.
Seriously, people, just take a stop for a second. You got to go all the way back to week 5 of 2009, the year they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Where actually Drew Brees had back-to-back games where he didn't throw a touchdown pass.
Weird.
He had back-to-back games with no touchdown passes.
Seriously, there was a time that you might not have started him in fantasy football?
Yeah.
What?
Back-to-back games, no touchdown passes. He has a bye week. And then he comes off the bye, and that's when it started.
He
October
becomes this machine.
October 4th, 2009. Since then, he has thrown at least one touchdown pass in every game.
Usually more.
He threw six in one game. I went back and looked at every single one of them, Jack.
Good for you.
He threw six in one. A lot of times he threw four or five. But there was one game, and this was last season against the Rams, that abysmal game where the Saints didn't show up to play in St. Louis against the run. Remember how bad the Rams were last year?
Oh, yeah.
I think they only won like two or three games.
And one of them was against the Saints.
And he hadn't he didn't throw a touchdown pass, and it was garbage time, and he threw one with 6 seconds left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that was his one for that game. That was the only time he was in danger of not throwing a touchdown pass in a game. One game out of 48 where he was in danger and it took the last final garbage time TD.
A freak game.
Yeah, a freak game where just everything
went
wrong.
That's the point. In 4 years, freak games happen once or twice.
And he had one of them, and he still found a way to throw a touchdown pass in that game. That's just it's an amazing record.
I believe.
It was an amazing record when Johnny U did it back in the 60s.
But here's the thing. Johnny did in the late 50s. It was his rookie year.
Early 60.
It was his rookie year.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what's so unfathomable.
The last
to
season
me.
Was 1960.
He's drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. He gets kicked off their practice squad, and he's playing like beer softball and desperately
softball
wants to return.
It is,
but he desperately wants to return to the NFL. Gets a tryout with the Baltimore Colts, makes the Colts squad as a reserve. Game one. Quarterback goes down. Your rookie season, game one, quarterback goes down. In comes Johnny Unitas. That was the beginning of his streak.
Yeah.
That's crazy sauce. This guy's career ends in 1973 in San Diego when he is a shell of himself. That is the true definition of an Iron Man.
Here's some crazy history. After he went his 47 straight games, you know what team broke his streak?
The New Orleans Saints.
The Rams.
The Rams.
The Rams that almost broke Drew Brees'.
Yeah.
Broke his streak.
And the Rams today. Dangerous.
The way Long and Quinn are playing right now, I don't want to face them.
And
seriously.
How about having Jeff Fisher back as a coach?
Yeah,
I can't.
Well,
Steve, we get to meet Fish for the first time.
We do.
I'm so excited about that.
Do you think it would be weird if I hugged him?
I want to hug him too. Would it be weirder if we hugged him together?
We'd get tossed from the press conference. All right, anyways, the San Diego Chargers couldn't do it. They fell short. I'm sorry I wasn't more supportive with you on the phone. Jeff calls me right before the game. You really wanted to change to the Saints.
I desperately wanted to change for the Saints.
Look, Jeff, here's the play that no one's talking about. I'm shocked ESPN's not talking about it. NFL Network's not talking about it. Nobody is talking about it.
We are here.
Third quarter. Middle of third quarter. The San Diego Chargers are beating the Saints 21-17. They sack Drew Brees. They don't sack him. They hit him as he throws the ball.
He barely throws it away.
It gets intercepted and returned for a touchdown.
Right.
That would have made it 24-17. I'm sorry. 28-17. Okay. Would have made it 28-17. It would have been an 11-point game with a quarter left. That changed the dynamic. On that play, they called a roughing the passer.
Yeah.
On Melvin Ingram, the rookie. Now, he hit Brees pretty hard.
Okay.
But I think he hit him in the chest, and his helmet slid up into the chin area.
Okay.
The initial contact.
But the officials don't have the benefit. The officials don't have the benefit of an instant replay. They have to see it in real time at real speed.
But that was game-changing.
It was a game-changer.
Because what did Brees do? Because of the 15-yard penalty? March down the field.
March.
They scored a touchdown. And then it became 21. They actually took a 24-21 lead at that point.
My position on this, Johnny Unitas, greatest quarterback of all time. Drew Brees, best passer of my lifetime.
Interesting.
That's just where I'm going to stand. Look, you broke Dan Marino's record first. There's other people going to come break these records because the game has changed so much. But Drew Brees was first. And for somebody that is so little, I don't know, because Steven and I, you and I talked about how fun it was to watch Drew Brees practice as he gets up on his tiptoes. It seemed like all of Sunday Night Football, they were showing the shots of him on his tippy toes and looking over the line with his ridiculous stretching his neck to try and see over players to deliver these passes. Nobody's focused on that until this year.
Yeah.
And we noticed it early in Oxnard, and it was the funniest thing in the world. But for to be undersized as he is, that doesn't help you in my perception of you.
You don't have a strong arm.
But it sure makes you probably one of my favorite players of all time. It's certainly one of my favorite players of all time.
Good stuff there.
Games of importance.
Wow, multiple hit bells.
Darn straight. The Packers.
We have to roll. Buddy.
That's why we've ranked the games, actually.
Yes.
I'll let you finish when we have to go with giving scores for whatever games we have left. Right. The Green Bay Packers go to the Baltimore Colts and
Indianapolis Colts.
I've been talking about Johnny Unitas. My bad. I will now make the transition to the modern era and talk about the Indianapolis Colts. And for Greg Schiano, Chuck Strong, love it.
Chuck Pagano. You said Greg Schiano. That's the guy from Tampa Bay that likes to rush the kneelers. But for Chuck Pagano,
Chuck Strong.
You got to give it to the Colts. They came out. Look, they're losing. Here you are. I'm just going to take you into the locker room.
Take me into the locker room.
It's halftime.
Actually.
It's 21-3. You're down. You know your coach is probably watching the game. You're not very happy at the performance that you've given so far. And all of a sudden, you come out in the second half and you play a half of football that you probably haven't played ever. You got to start thinking, this Andrew Luck kid, he's pretty good.
Yes, he is.
The drives that he led, and for them to be able to score 16 points in the third quarter, 11 in the fourth, and take a 3-point lead when they were down by so much. Was pretty amazing. Hat tip to Reggie Wayne, that one-handed catch.
He was recruited.
I don't know.
That
catch was probably my best catch I've ever seen ever. Because if you look at it again, Charles Woodson's holding his hand. Holding his jersey.
I only have one free hand.
His hand.
Okay.
And he catches it with one, brings it in, falls to the ground. Then... It's funny. As he's grabbing it with one hand, Woodson turns to look for the
Are
ball.
Are you it's freaking like, serious?
It's already in his head.
I'm already interfering with you. What else do I have to do? More.
Amazing catch that he got the game-winning touchdown, and he reached, he stretched with all his might to get in there for score the touchdown.
We saw Reggie Wayne's greatest game, and he's had a few.
Yeah, it was. It
you
was,
know, Chuck Pagano recruited him in college to play for him, and now he had the opportunity to go and take that game ball to the hospital for
Mason
for,
Crosby, 51-yarder. Did you see it hook?
Yes.
Was there maybe, you know,
a foot?
An indoor breeze? Because they're indoors in Indianapolis. But
Peter King suggested, and he's not a devoutly religious man,
right,
that God had some hand
there
in this.
Was something the way that ball
he
moved.
Says it was in a dome, and it was as if someone turned on a jet engine after it left his foot, because he set up fine, the kick was fine,
the way,
and then just whoa.
I mean, that ball never had a chance, dog. It was like
a huge wind going
to go in.
That was pretty funny.
And
unfortunately for the Packers, it means you guys have got a losing record. I'm sorry. And it's week
That's
five.
The last time the Packers had a losing record.
It was after Brett Favre.
They were 0-1. And then they were 1-2.
But this late in the season.
Yeah.
This late in the season, you have to go back to the wishing that Brett Favre would leave years.
I'm going to put you on the hot seat because it's my turn.
Okay.
It's my turn.
Welcome to the hot seat.
Don't forget.
Boom, 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 hello.
Don't forget what you're going to ask.
Yes, I got a good hot seat
Steven,
question.
Did I tell you about that hot girl that came by the other day?
No, but
she
you know
had
what?
This low
I decided
cut top.
We need to have more hot girls in the Rave Cave. I thought you were going to work on that.
More would indicate somebody, more than zero. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right, here's the hot seat. The Green Bay Packers are 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
Are they a playoff team?
Well, according to my power rankings, they're not a playoff team.
Yeah, but your medals, they variate from time to time.
They do vary, but they're in the 11th. Look, they're in 11th place, which would mean that they go to the playoffs, but they're not medal worthy. What creeps me out is how, and the reason that Houston fell out of the number one spot, even though they won, is that these two teams, and the reason I bring up Houston, their offense last night looked a lot like the Packers, which is highly capable but underachieving dramatically. Both of these offenses should be able to hang 40 points on you per week. Yet they're not.
Yeah.
And they're not even really coming close. They seem content to generally win, you know, they're content to keep the game close. And that is not a mark of a great team.
Well, I'm going to stop you. Last night was the first close game the Houston Texans have had. They've blown everybody
out. But didn't it seem like, I mean, again, is the Jets' defense that good?
Jets do have a pretty good D.
They do.
And it appeared that last night, after that first drive, because look, that first drive, Houston marched down the field, boom, touchdown, they win the game.
Right.
And then after that first drive, I don't know if Rex Ryan talked to his defense or whatever, but they turned it up a notch.
They did.
They turned it up.
Nobody else did, but they did.
And so that defense
was. So, Steven, all I just want to say is you asked me, highly capable, underachieving offenses.
Are they a playoff team, yes or no?
Yes, they're. Well, geez, it all depends on your division. When you've got the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears that I think are better than you right now.
I'm putting you on the hot seat again. Come on.
Oh, unbelievable.
Another hot seat. Double hot seat. Double hot seat. At 4-1, are the Minnesota Vikings a playoff team?
Hell
remember,
yes.
The Minnesota Vikings are 30 seconds away from being 5-0.
They are number 8 in my power rankings.
Okay.
They are very much a playoff team. I believe that Minnesota, I'm just going to talk crazy talk here, I believe they win the division.
Woo!
I had them in dead freaking last to begin
I
the season.
I cannot wait. To
and
see
I
the
think,
Vikings play the Packers.
Steven, there's some great games
to see
coming
the
up.
The Vikings play the Bears.
The Bears are playing the 49ers on Monday Night Football in like November
in
4th
weeks.
Or something.
Yeah, a few
weeks, no,
yeah.
After we're back from London.
Okay, we'll
maybe
back
you're
back.
Not back yet, but what day do you get back? What date do you get
Saturday,
back?
Saturday, November 3rd.
Really? This is like Monday, November 5th.
Okay, so I get to see that Monday.
Will you be
you go
in good
that
enough?
Monday?
I want to go to that game.
Where in San Francisco?
In San Francisco. The Bears are coming to San Francisco.
Duh. You don't have to tell me twice.
Okay, well, I just want to make sure you're going to be, you know, jet lagged from a couple weeks of travels.
Jet lag does not affect me. I am not affected by jet lag.
Okay.
What? Have I ever been affected by jet lag?
Yeah.
When we get to London, am I always like...
I didn't say when we get there, when we get
home. When we get back, am I ever affected?
Yeah,
by...
yeah,
no,
usually...
I'm usually sick.
Yeah.
But this year, I'm taking...
I'm usually sick, year, but that doesn't count.
No, it doesn't. This year, I'm taking airborne.
Jinko Biloba Loba?
No, that's to help you remember stuff. You should take some of that stuff.
I'm remembering more than I ever have. So I don't have much to go on. No, we're out of time, bro.
Are we? Oh, my God. Where are we? Wait, we came out of time. What happened?
Eagles and Steelers.
What?
Tell me. Eagles and Steelers.
We already did Eagles and Steelers.
Right. Dolphins and Bengals. I'm like, this is where we screwed up the dumbest, most wager line of the day.
Yeah, that was...
Dumbest wager line of the day.
That was on me. I'm not very happy about that. And actually, Andy Dalton, he made the bat. He was bad. Two picks at the end of the game. He's marching down the field. And it wasn't even close to Hawkins. It was way over his head.
Yep. You guys are bad.
No, they're not bad. They're 3-2.
Miami, though.
I'm tired of people calling 2-2 teams and 3-2 teams bad.
It all depends on what you do. You lose at home to the Miami Dolphins. That is not a good thing. But Miami's a lot better than we thought
they were.
The Miami
Dolphins are not who we thought they were.
Correct. They have moved up 8 spots, Steven. That's a big leap.
That is a
big leap.
Up
a board that only has 32 spots on it. Congratulations to the Miami Dolphins. We hope your fans are enjoying this ride with Ryan Tannehill.
I may even, for the first time this year, maybe even take the Miami Dolphins this week.
Who they got?
The Rams.
Oh, the Rams. Ooh. Oh,
in Miami.
Ooh.
In Miami,
Defense travels.
But the offense.
Ryan Tannehill, you might want to call your doctor and schedule an appointment for Monday. I'm just saying.
All right. The final is all.
Thank you.
The Cincinnati Bengals fall to Miami 17-13. The Dolphins, lo and behold, are 2-3. Look at that.
Weird.
Oh, Jeff. And they're not at the end of the division.
Well, that's because of Buffalo
Bills. The Buffalo Bills right there.
The improved Buffalo
Greg.
Bills.
Oh, pow, pow. What were you and Greg?
What about me and Greg?
I don't know.
Gosh, you insinuate so much with that tone.
I know. The Baltimore Ravens and Kansas City Chiefs. Now, we already talked about the Matt Castle thing.
9-6?
Yeah.
This was not the Baltimore Orioles playing baseball, okay?
And I'm just going to go on record now. I haven't made my decision yet.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go on record now. Based on that game I saw in Kansas City, I may not necessarily be taking Baltimore to beat Dallas. I may not. I'm just going to go there. What? No. Hold on.
Can I understand.
Can I tell you why?
Look, they played like crap.
I'm going to tell you why. Not only did they play like crap, look, in recent history, in the games where the Cowboys have been given no shot, they've dominated.
They tend to do well when they're given no shot, but that's every week. So you
Every week.
I'm teasing. I'm just trying to be mean and hurtful.
This week, Jeffrey, believe you me, nobody's going to give them a shot against Baltimore.
No shot.
So beware. That's what I'm saying. 9-6, the final there. Way to go, Baltimore. I don't understand because they were moving the ball at will. They would get stuck in the red zone. It was weird.
And then they kept going for it when they could have just settled for a field goal really maxed out. But instead, you're like, we're better than this.
Yeah.
We're not a field goal team. Yeah. Come on. Take the damn field goals, and you'll have a big score at the end.
Because especially when I've got Tucker as my kicker, take the field goals.
Because Steven says so.
All right, the Tennessee Titans.
Tennessee Titans. Oh, my gosh.
You know, the Titans are just bad, dog. They're bad.
Well, they weren't good before Jake Locker got hurt, and the week even the Chris Johnson ran for 124 yards.
Yeah, well, this week he's back to his old Chris Johnson. 24 yards on 19 carries.
The Vikings roll 30-7. 30-7.
Yeah.
That was the most dumbest wager line of the day, if you ask me. We should have been. The Vikings, we now know, we believe Minnesota.
Here's the next game.
Percy Harvin. That Percy Harvin touchdown will stay in my memory forever, Steven. So the slowest 7-yard scamper in the history of the NFL. You know the play I'm talking about.
Why was it slowest?
Because he kept waiting for guys to jump at him, and he would just kind of step out of the way.
Yeah.
The whole play happened in slow motion. It was the Matrix touchdown. That's what I'm going to call it. Because bullets are flying at him. He just, woo, woo, duck to the left, to the right, take a step forward, take a step back. Bodies go whizzing by him. And then he just tippy-toes into the end zone.
Percy Harvin.
Percy Harvin. Dude. Amazing. You beasted.
This was should have been the I you know what? I
Bills 49ers?
I was afraid of the 9.5.
I know.
I was afraid of it.
I know. What 40. If somebody said, you know what the line's going to be? San Francisco by 40. Oh, yeah, and they cover. What?
45-3.
Your collective, San Francisco, your collective wins the last 2 weeks like 79-3. Okay?
That's
crazy sauce, but that's who you are. You're playing with confidence and authority.
Here's what's even more crazy. At the beginning of the second quarter, it was 3-3. It was 3-3 in the second quarter.
Yeah, but what did New England teach us last week? You
can
put
up
35
points.
Yes, like that.
Yes, like that on the Bills. All right, and then Monday Night Football, we all saw that. The Texans defeated the Jets narrowly, did not cover the 8 points.
Not even close. Dude, it was 9.5 at kickoff.
Really?
It was 9.5 at kickoff. I had to explain my picks all night to Mike Graham. He loves ridiculing me.
Really?
He likes making me make predictions and then making fun of me for getting them wrong. And we did that for 4 hours last night.
Really?
Yeah.
He does that on Thursday with me.
He makes fun of you?
He doesn't make fun of me. He just says, well, you got that one wrong. I was like, well, this is why I got it wrong. And I explained to him why I got it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to put him in his place in person in a few weeks.
The final there on Monday Night Football, the Houstons get a 23-17 win on a Jets team who I believe they need wide receiver help. And you know what? Fine. Take a gander on Ocho Cinco or he who must not be named or somebody.
But really, you're having to go to Rogers Cromartie.
You need somebody. You do. Nap games. The Cleveland Browns take a huge lead on the Giants, and they piss it away.
They realize, oh, my God, we're playing the New York Giants, who win by 14 points.
41-27 victory over Cleveland.
Comfortably
there. Victor Cruz, 3 touchdown passes. Ahmad Bradshaw, 200 yards rushing, which is interesting, Jeff. Bradshaw fumbled on the first play of the game, yet Tom Coughlin stayed with him.
Yeah, very mature of Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, and what is it? He repaid him with 200 yards and a touchdown. Finally, the Bears.
Two more games. Bears,
yeah,
Jets.
Bears and the Jaguars. Bears do it on defense again. Charles Tillman, Lance Brigg, 6 days after they return touchdown interceptions for touchdowns, Jeff, against the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football, they do it again, becoming the first teammates in history to return interceptions for touchdowns in consecutive weeks.
Chicago Bears, back down.
It's bite down. They're biting down. They're bears. They bite
They're
down on people.
Bearing down.
How do you bear down on someone?
I will show you as soon as we're done, and you will pick your bloody body up off the floor.
Okay, because I will bite down on you. That's what a bear does.
So, Steve, what I'm noticing is in our nap games, they were blowouts in the fashion that we expected them to be blowouts.
Except the Seattle Seahawks
and the Carolina Panthers.
We took
defense
the Panthers.
Defense travels, baby.
And we lost it.
Defense travels.
Cam Newton. I'm not gonna let you say that anymore. You can't. You can't.
I'm not.
Cam Newton. You can't do that no more.
You won't hear it from me. I wore my jersey and everything.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I keep forgetting.
I had to explain to Mike the Jeff Ellis curse last night.
I gotta start changing my picks against Carolina. I keep forgetting this, the Jeff Ellis curse.
Well, don't worry. I explained what the Jeff Ellis curse was to Mike last night. He enjoyed it.
Did he laugh?
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe he just likes to laugh at you.
He does. 16-12, Seattle beats Carolina. Here's the thing. Teams know how to play against Cam Newton right now.
Yeah.
He needs to adjust.
He does.
And Ron Rivera, I am calling you out.
Call him out, Jeffrey.
I am calling out Ron Rivera, head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
Call him out.
Dude, change things up, or you will never win.
And with that, we're going to roll, Jeffrey.
Bye.
I'm Steven Miranda.
Jeff here.
For NFL Rants and Raves.
2012!